So it's kind of bottom of Nikhan Mubed, the last two words there, is with Rav, Amar Rav. Yesterday we discussed the end of the Mishnah. At the end of the Mishnah there was an additional takana, which Rebbe sat down and they were Hindu, that if the property, after these marauders or killers took the property in exchange for the Jew's life, then Rebbe instituted that for the first 12 months, the Baalim, the owners, had first right of refusal. After 12 months, the Baalim, since they had not, until that point, redeemed the property, and anybody, first come, first served, could redeem the property, and they just had to pay out the 25% or 20%, depending on Machlokes Rav and Shmuel from yesterday, of the discount that the Sukkaron offered to the buyer. But the Baalim no longer had the right to come take the property away. They did this in order to prevent the property from sitting with the secret phone, because otherwise the people would be reluctant to redeem the property, knowing that the Baalim could always take it away from them. Now Rav makes a statement, I'm Rav, An Havai Minyono Debe Rabbi. I was in that minyono. It says Nimnu. In the Mishnah, Rav says, I was there. Uminaididi Mandu Bereisho. And it started from me, and that when they asked what the opinion of each person was there in the minyon, they started with me. I says, Hanan, Tanan, don't we have a Mishnah in Sanhedrin, Dinim Mamonot, Vitarot, Datumot? And when it comes to Dinim Mamonos, and Taros, and Tumos, Machilim in Agodo, you ask the biggest person there. Obviously, if it's Beit Rabbi, Rab was, you know, a leader, he's the beginning of the Moraim, the crossing over between the Tanaim. He was one of the younger people in that minyan, probably the youngest, or the, therefore he should have been last, according to that Mishnah in Sanhedrin, because this was not Dinei Nefashos, because Dinei Nefashos means Chulim Netzad. When it comes to Dinei Nefashos, we start from the youngest or the most junior of the people in the minyan, because we don't want them to be influenced by what the Gadol says. But when it comes to Dinei Mamonos and Taros and Tumos, which this would qualify for, they wouldn't have begun with Rab, they would have begun with, right, Rabbi or Devei Rabbi, whoever was there, that was the Gadol. So I'm Rabbi Bered Brobo, Vitim Rabbilo Bered Rab Polis, Shiny Minyono Devei Rabbi, Minyono Devei Rabbi was different to Kulu Min Ayanagu Min Atzadah Matklin. Everything they did, they began from the Gadol. So not just Dinei Nefashos, but even Dinei Mamonos and Dinei Tumos and Taros. The way Rashi learns this is that, what's the pasuk that teaches us that you start from the youngest and not the oldest? Because it says, Lo Taneh Al-Rif. Right? And it's written in the pasuk, Chasher Bov, right, in the Parshah. It's written as Chasher Bov, says, Lo Taneh Al-Rif. That you may not be Cholik Al-Muflish of Evasion. So therefore, since you can't be Cholik Al-Muflish of Evasion, we never start with the Muflish of Evasion. Right? Then, the second half of the pasuk is a Dinei Nefashos issue. It talks about Dinei Nefashos. Therefore, the Gemara assumes that this issue of Lo Nataneh Rav only has application by Dinei Nefashos. But the way the Bei Rabbi learned it was that there were two separate Dinei. The ratio of the Pasuk was Lo Nataneh Rav, application in all cases. Second half Pasuk was Dinei Nefashos, but not necessarily related to the first half of the Pasuk. Therefore, they said Lo Nataneh Rav, that you have to start from the youngest in every instance. That's very rational. The Pasuk says, what do you mean? That means that the way the Bei Rabbi learns is that they're arguing on an explicit Mishnah in Sanhedrin. So Mishnah in Sanhedrin is starting to name how could it be, right, that they did this? So he says that Tosafot suggests another solution over here. He says, Vein Hira, the Shah of Rashi, the Lobis Taber, the Kalik of the Sanhedrin, that the Elamishum Anoko, Shabdola Harod, that spoke Gadol, Hayahu said. And he did it out of Hanukkah, but really he was a Gadol. Rab wasn't one of the Gadolim. They could have started with him, but Bidere Hanukkah, he said, I was the youngest, and they started from him, that he would make himself more junior in order to be the first one to start. All right, so now...
He was a Rab, or he was a Rebbe?
I don't know, because I'm not sure that Rebbe was present, because it's the Bay Rabbi, right? I'm not sure if...
It was Rabbi Sanhedrin.
So I don't know if Rabbi was actually present at the time of... Rabbi did live in the time of Rabbi. And here it says in our mission, Rabbi Hoshi based in Benimna. So Rabbi was present at that time. Right, so good learning either way. It doesn't give you that the... I don't know if it was on the day Rabbi, that he didn't speak first, right? Or the other hand, could be the number of Rav, who should have been one of the Gdolim, should have been one of the first, but he said, no, I started first because I was the youngest or most junior, and therefore he didn't want to hold himself as being one of the Gdolim in the Beis Din of Rav. Either way, the way Tosfos learns it, it was not necessarily an Iker Hadin. It wasn't something that they were Kobe Alokha, but rather it was a Midos that they exercised over here, as opposed to Rashi, which is suggesting that the actual Din is different over here.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just thinking that it's Mustafa that it was Rebbe, because this is not talking about just this one case. It's all like a whole Minyana.
It was Rabbi's general policy, and it's not clear if it was Tosfos, which she's saying that. All right, so now the Gemara continues. So the reason this is brought down here is simply because it's the we have another memo, right, by these people about Rabbi, right? So it says Moshe about Rabbi, lo matzino Torah, ugdula v'makom echad. We did not find, right, Torah and Gdula, meaning Torah, Chokma, and the leadership of Gaisel and Torah, and Gdula, meaning that Osher, and the wealth and the both, so in the mundane and in the holy, that this person excelled in both of these areas. So in most of the time, Moshe told Rabbi there was no such thing. Below. What do you mean? Ahava Yeshua. What about Yeshua Binur? Somebody says, have Elozer. Elozer was still around in the time of Yeshua, and therefore he wasn't the only Gadol HaTorah. He wasn't so uniquely the leader, because Elozer was also there. So have Elozer. What about Elozer himself? Somebody says, Pinchas. He said, have Pinchas. Pinchas was there. Ba'aba Pinchas, what about Pinchas? So how does the king, around? Abba Sha'ul, right, what about Sha'ul? Amalek, right, so the Gemara says, Abba Shmuel. Shmuel was around at the time of Sha'ul. So the Gemara says, not shame. So it says, Shmuel passes away prior to the ending of the rule of Sha'ul. So in that case, Sha'ul was at the point in time when Sha'ul was alone, and therefore, why don't we count him? When it says Kule Shani, we're talking about someone throughout his lifetime that was the God of the Torah and in the Osher side. And here Sha'ul, from the time that Shmuel was alive during his lifetime, that was not the case. It was only for a short period at the end of his life. What about David? It says, have an Ira Hayyiri. But the Ira was a tremendous Tamachok in the time of David. So it says, Anach Nafshay. He was, right? He didn't make it through the whole reign of David. So it says, again, Kulu Shani Bin, and we want the whole reign of David to be in that situation. Have a Shlomo. What about Shlomo? Obviously, Shimi ben Gera. And Shimi ben Gera was still alive, right? Because David leaves him alive. And Gemara says, of course, but how Catholic? Didn't Shlomo himself kill, or had Shimi ben Gera killed? And so therefore, Shlomo was alone after that. So Gemara says, Kula Shani Kami. And we mean the whole life of Shlomo, and that's not the case here. Rabbi Kiskio, right? So it was Kiskio. Gemara says, have a Shapna. So we saw that Agarada, that Shapna was a tremendous Kabbalah from the time of Kiskio. And he eventually is killed by some Khera of Shapna, but he does challenge Kiskio in Torah during that time period. So Gemara says, I am killed, but Shapna was killed. Right? So Kulu Shani coming again, we want us a whole lifetime of Kiskio. Rabbi Ezra, what about Ezra? So Gemara says, have a Nechemi ben Pakigaya. And that Nechemi was alive at the time of Ezra, so therefore Ezra was not the sole leader or the, you know, paramount leader at that time. So if you talk about Moshe, then we talk about Rabbi, and the next time this happens is the time of Rav Ashi. So the question is below. Is that really true? Bahava Hunda Barnaton. What about Hunda Barnaton, who was a tremendous Tamil Kakko at the time of Rav Ashi, maybe even greater than Rav Ashi. So why is it that you're counting Rav Ashi here? Someone says, Shani Hunda Barnaton, the Mikia Pabakai for the Rav Ashi. Despite his tremendous Chokmah, he was still subject to the rulings of Rav Ashi. I mean, Rav Ashi still held power and was the final Pesach and the Gadol Ador, and therefore, Hunan Bar Natan does not undermine this basic point that Rav Ashi was the leader in Torah and in Osher Chavod in those areas, because Hunan Bar Natan was under him, under his dominion in a sense of Torah. Right now, the Gemara continues with another Mishnah, again, the Mishnah that has relates to Tikkun Olam. So the first thing the Mishnah says is Cheresh, Romeis Benirmas. A Cheresh can be communicated through Remiza. He can communicate through indications by his hands, by his motions of his head, that he's allowed to do. Uben Kero Mer Kovit Benikvas. that not only can he do it through his hands or his head motions, but even by movement of his lips, that would be sufficient for him to indicate that she wants to do or his will. And that is only true when it comes to Kutot are young children, right? Young children will seem like my old. Mecha Mecha, Memkar Memkar. So we saw this earlier in Kitzin, we talked about this issue, that the time of the ability to transact, and here they have the ability to act, big metalphalin, they have full transaction rights when it comes to metalphalin. So now, we might as well discuss these issues. Amra Dachlin, Machlokes, big metalphalin. The machlokus between the Tanakhama and Ben Metabra is only when it comes to metalka. About Gitin, Tiriakov and Remisa. But when it comes to Gitin, everybody agrees that Remisa would be sufficient, or would be the necessary, to create the Gitin. Pshita, of course that's true, but metalka is not. That's what the Mishnah says, that their argument is in metalka and not in the Gitin. So Malatim, what do we think in our Mishnah? Out with metalka. Mishnah is going to teach the Chiddush that even by metalka, and why? Because by Gittin it's obvious. Why is it obvious that Remisa works by Gittin? It's because how did the Cheresh marry? He married, whatever method he used to get married is the same method he could use to get divorce. So maybe the Chiddush of the Mishnah is that not only does this work by marriage, but it also works by metalka. That's what the Mishnah brought metalka for, to be at metalka. So the Mashkelon is not that by metalka, but we say that there's a smachotus ben ben betero and the Tanakhama, but by Gittin, right, everybody agrees, that only Remisa will work. Right, Igadami, say that the other way around, Amar Nachman to Machlokas ben Tavla and Kach Machlokas ben Gittin, same Machlokas that we have with ben Tavla and the Tanakhama applies not only ben Tavla but also ben Gittin, Ba'anan ben Tavla and Tanakh, so now the Mishnah becomes a problem. I said, same one, that's going to be the Mishnah, not ben Tavla, that's it, the Mishnah. Right, that is the conclusion, right, that the finish is that after Tavla is that he can obviously can work, but whatever way he was coming, sir, he can be divorced, sir, but over here he can't. Yeah, by metalka maybe not, and that's the finish of the Mishnah. Now, Bhutos Mecha Mecha, Umenka Mecha Metalka. That comma. What are we talking about? How old? What's the age that we're talking about in our Mishnah? So Bhakavir it's like braid the braid. So he pointed Rabuda presented to Rabitzvah his son, Kibarshit Barshev, like a 6 or 7 year old. Rav Kana Amar, Kvar Shev, Kvar Tamne, like a 7 or 8 year old. But these are Tanakh, Kvar Tesh, Kvar Esther, like a 9 or 10 year old. So which one is it? The local leading of my says, Kochad Machad, the Kvar Korfet, meaning that it has to do with the maturity of the child. So meaning that you have a range of 6 to 10, depending on the maturity of the child's ability to understand that he's transacting, that'll be sufficient in order to have the transaction hold and be under this Kapanis Kachavim. The time of mind. So what's the whole reason of the Kapata? Why do we have to create it that minors can transact? What's the purpose of that? We have a Rayak, we have a Mishum Dekayak in order to support his livelihood. Meaning that if a Kota cannot transact, then nobody would transact with them. So the Tikkun Olam is that we make that their transactions have token or final in order that they can buy food, in order to eat, that they can supply themselves. I mean, if they were left, these Yisomim were left somehow, or these children are left and they have possessions but they don't have food, they can't have these sell their possessions get food. If their transactions are not valid transactions, nobody's going to give them food in exchange for the metalka, because the goal is to come and reverse it later. So the way you do it is, what if we say that the transaction holds, and since that transaction holds, they have the ability to create the nechayah, to have to sustain themselves in these situations. We now the next Gemara, Meyomer, Basher Ala Miltecha, Hotze Lubush, the full of Da'ei Habal. So now this, again, this Gemara has nothing to do with anything we're talking about, except for the fact that this is also a din of Amar Rabbi Yochanan, who gave the reason for our Mishnah, the Tikkun Olam, Kedei Chayim. So this is another statement by them, but nothing related to our Gemara at all. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan, so my Alpha, what is this? Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Dabar and Nimwau, Vinimtaf. Something that is, when you roll it between your fingers, it stretches out. And what is that? That's Kishan, that's linen. That's great, and so that's the way they told that, that's the way they draw the string from the Kishan of flax, is by rolling it between their fingers that creates linen that comes out of it. Kiyadim Rav Dimi Rav Yochanan, Shigra Lo, Bonim, Ben Nunim, There are numerous yourselves as to what his name is here and who he was, Monius, Benonius, or Bonium, Benonium. Right, so this individual was wealthy, said the Rebbe, Sibne Mechomes, Salsalal Umumawel. So what did this mean? Sibne Mechomes, this is the type of linen, the qualities of linen that there are. So Sibne Mechomes, Kamuza Fabi Lemuza. That when you fold it up, right, when you fold it up, it's so fine that you can fold it up, it only comes down to a size of an 8.5. That when you fold it up into that, it's so fine and thin that when you fold it up, it becomes the size of a, it's like equivalent of a poncho that you step up and it opens up to a bigger thing. So over here, you're able to fold it down to the tire to the point that it is the size of a nut and a half. But that boost, the esophago mimale, right, is the piscata or pavia piscata. Again, this is as fine so that when you fold it up, it comes down to what Rashi calls piscata, he calls it walnut. So clean kasirim, that they're fed to the pigs. So this is a gallnut, but it's gallnut and a half. It's able to condense down to a gallnut and a half. Okay, my milmali. What does the word milmali mean here? Dover adim malvinim taps. This is why it's brought up here. Right, as we said before, that what is the malchakol is again this idea, this clothing that is made through the taking the pishtan, or taking the flax and rolling between the fingers to draw out the linen stream from it. Right, so now a mistake, when a child makes a mistake in a transaction, now we say the transactions are good transactions, up until what point do we say that the transactions is valid if someone is treating them unfairly? So when it says that, but then the same thing is enough as a gogo. That means that if it's until it should, it stays and he has to pay it back, above should, the transaction fails. Below shows, right, then the transaction holds. So up to 1/6 is considered a valid window of sale in which persons fluctuate, prices fluctuate between different people, and therefore they would consider it said. What is the status of a gift of a cotton? We said that the makkah of a gift of a cotton is good. That was a tikkun olam. So we think, right, yeah. Right, so does it have a application by matana or not? So the Rabbi Amar, in matanato matana, does not work. It's not valid. Whereas Marmar Ravashi, Marmar matanato matana, it is a valid. And once we give them transaction rights, their transaction rights, for everything that involves transactions, presents, gifts, and transactions of sale. So who was the true commander of Mordecai? So they switched the opinions between Rabbi Amar and Marmar Ravashi by accident. They made a mistake and switched them. Then they sent it for Mordecai to ask what he thought. So I'm like, if you will humble the bar Mar, go say to the son of Mar. Mar was his rebbe. His rebbe was Ravashi. Rabbi Mordecai says, say to Marmar Ravashi, love happy at the Udo. Right? And this, wasn't this the case? When Ravashi was standing, one foot on the ground and one foot on the stair, up into the base measures. I'm running away. Matanato, my eyes, it wasn't the day of a present. Ramadan, matanato, matanat. It's a good gift. So now, that is what Marvin Ravashi said. He said exactly what his father said. But because they sent it to Rabbi Mordecai with the names reversed, it sounded like Marvin Ravashi was arguing on his father. That's where my Mordecai sends back to Marvin Ravashi, your father said differently. Although the truth was that they had the same opinion, it was just because they mixed up how they sent it to him. So he says, Akad Matanat Shimukimera, Akad Matanat Bari, they qualify to give gifts like a Shimira, like a Bari, Akad Matanat Ruba, Akad Matanat Bulat, that doesn't matter. Again, the size of the Matanam does not matter. Meaning that how big or how small it is, that each of these cases is considered valid for a cousin to get. Tosos points out here, there is one thing missing over here. What's that? So if you look at Tosos, Akad Matan Ruba, Akad Matan Muleta, the Dlow Kamar Nami, Akad Matana Matana Malkulam, the Akad Matana Kerkoot, here the Akad Matalkin Dari Kukamar. So it says that this idea that Matana works is just like the Takana that our mission talks about, which is Guta, Menkar, only applies to Matalkin. It does not have broader application by by Karkalos, and that would be the same by Matama, that they can only give Matana by Matalkin and not by Karkalos. Okay, now, Mishnah is a play on the Tikkun Olam that we've said until now, but this is because of Darkei Shalom. So there is a Tikkun Olam, but it has a specific type of Tikkun Olam, which is in all these instances, it's Mishnah Darkei Shalom. El Grimma Ruf Ne Darkei Shalom. these are the issues that the Chacham said, because of Darkei Shalom, even though the Ikar did is not this way, it's captured to be this way so they would maintain Shalom. What is this? Going for Rishon? Bacharav Levi, Bacharav Yisrael. That when the Aliyot come in, they show that we make it clear, it's Kohen Levi Yisrael. And therefore there's no argument about who's better, who's greater, and who should get the first Aliyah. Right now they only argue about Yisrael. Who should get the first Yisrael? But generally, this assumes some Seder, at least some broad Seder to the Aliyot, that wouldn't create a problem of every time you call up, who goes first, which seems to be the major issue, who goes first. Repeat that Shalom. Maharvin, the Beit Yashan, again, that they, when the Eruv was in the house for a long time and period, we don't switch the location of the Eruv, there, the Eruv Haseros, right, that was given in this house, to another place because of Darkei Shalom, and that we don't have this person no longer valid, they can't carry the Eruv. I mean, some sort of chazaka or abuse that implies that we don't take it away from this Beit Yashan. Bork.
I was just mad about the Aliyah, that's why Shlishi has taken on the significance of the ask. Shlishi is the first Aliyah.
The robot.
Give to Yisrael.
Exactly. Okay, Boris, you called the Amah. Now this is, if you have a channel that's bringing water down to feed the fields, right, to water the fields, so they used to have backup watering systems, like you have like a backup battery, they had a backup watering system, so the Amah brought the water on a regular basis down, but there were times that the water cut off from the Amah, so what they used to do is they used to fill their borot, they used to fill up their own cisterns or areas next to the field, so that if the Amah slowed down a problem, they could take from their borot. So the question was that when you do that, you have to cut off the water flow, you have to dam the water flow of the Amah, and fill your bore. When you do that, then anybody below you on the Amah does not get water at that point in time. So they made a general takana, borshu karol the Amah mitmalei rishon, that there's a seder who gets it, meaning that the bore that's closest to the Amah, the source of the water flow, right, he fills first. And then, as it goes down the stream, then each person gets entitled to damage to fill their bore first. So, again, so otherwise, you'd have a problem of how do you set the order. So here they made it simple, that it goes just in order of who's closest to the source of the flow of the Amah, and each individual can fill their bore, and then it continues downstream. So don't chayav ofot b'dagim, yesh behem b'shum gezel. They have a din of gezel, mipnei darkei shalom. So Rashi says, midoraisa, right? Kokama de lo matli yadei lav gezel. As long as it doesn't come to his hand, I mean, as long as he doesn't take possession of it, then it still remains hefker. Even though it's in his trap, he's unable to take possession of it, and a kinyan midoraisa. So therefore, it would not be gezel, it's still hefker, even in his trap. So the din of chachamim is that when it goes into his trap, it becomes his. If you steal it, it's gezel midorabanan. If you see omer gezel gamor, it's full gezel, it's not just gezel midorabanan. Deal with all these cases in the tomorrow, not today's daf, but tomorrow, the next day's daf. See, I've parashot the cotton, Yishmael Mishum Gezel. Again, parashot the cotton are all not qualified to exercise a proper kinyan, and therefore, when they have a mitziah, right, technically when they take possession of it, it's not really theirs. So, what we would say is that anybody can take it from them because it remains, this quote unquote, hefker. Because that Yishmael Mishum Gezel, we make after Shalom. Again, regarding after Shalom, people won't jump on a parashot the cotton, grab away whatever they have, say that. Rabbi Yossi Amir Gezel Gahul, it's full Gezel. Aniyam Nakeh Perosh Zayit, so some Ani flies up to get the overloads or the leftover olives at the top of the tree. So he's working on the top of the tree, he's knocking with the stick, and the olives are falling down below. So some guy stands below, puts out his bucket, and then he catches all the olives in their hands, because this Ani never took possession of the olives, he never made a kinyan on them, he's just banging on them. So that was the Takanas Mechamim, that Ani Perosh Zayit, Mashah Taktav Gezel, that whatever falls from up there, that is Gezel, if you take it and take back the Shalom again. Because the Amir Gezel Gamor, it's not just Darkei Shalom, it's Gezel Gamor. Non-Jewish Aniyim come to collect Lekesh Chompeya. We do not stop them, even Darkei Shalom, again, because of Darkei Shalom. Skmar says, Minahani Milin. Where do we know this from, that the Kohen goes first? And this is going to be the discussion of our Gemara, where basically the rest of today we're going to deal with this issue of the Kohen. So Amar Rav Matna, Damar Kroah, it says, the Pasuk says, Ve'ichlo Moshe to Torah Hazot, Ve'ignayel HaKohenim B'nei Levi. And he wrote the Torah, it's the end of Sefer Dvarim, we can assume. And it says that he gave the Torah, he wrote the Torah, and he gave it over to the Kohenim B'nei Levi. So the Gemara says, Ata Ana Le'adana Kohenim B'nei Levi. We don't know that Kohanim are descendants of Levi. In who? Hela, Kohen Bereshit, Behadar Levi. That's what it comes to teach you, that the excess Lashon here, Kohanim, B'nai Levi, comes to you, the Kohanim are subset of Levi, and they go first, and then Levi goes, and then Yisrael. It's an Akhmai Mari Halkov, and Yisrael, Kohanim, B'nai Levi, and the Kohanim, B'nai Levi came forward. Adu Adam Lo Yadina, the Kohanim, B'nai Levi. Again, we don't know that the Kohanim are B'nai Levi, they know, Ella, Kohen Risha, the Hotel Levi. Again, so the excess Lashon here, B'nai Levi, comes to teach you that the Kohanim are a subset of Levi, and they take precedence, and then B'nai Levi, and then the regular Yisrael. Rabbi Shemar, Yitachko, B'nai Amram, Aron Moshe, B'yabdel Aron HaKdisho, Kodesh Kodoshi, because B'nai Amram are Aron Moshe, and then Hashem separated Aron to be Kodesh Kodoshi. So Kodesh Kodoshi implies the highest of high, right? And not just Kodesh, which B'nai Levi have, but Kodesh Yisrael. Next one is possibility. So this is the more common, or the most used one. It says v'kidashto. When it comes to Kohen, that he should be kodesh. What does it mean v'kidashto? The chol davar should be kedusha. Anything that has a davar kedusha, the Kohen has precedence when it comes to this. Tami de'amei Rabbi Shmuel, we have this, v'kidashto, the chol davar kedusha, v'toach rishon, to start first, u'lovarek rishon, and to make the bracha first, v'litomane yafei rishon. So what are these items? And so, the v'toach rishon is any davar kabot, that's what Rashi says, the v'toach rishon is any davar kabot, made Torah, when it comes to being calling up the Iliad, then yeshiva, right, if they're sitting down, who should speak first? The Kohen gets rights in all these instances. The Barei Rishon, Rashi says, is in a Sudo, and he makes the bracha, then he's the one who gets to be Mizami, or he gets the one to make the bracha Rishonot, when they used to make brachos Rishonot, right, together. Right now, what is Rashi says, we told Mani Yafir Rishon, is in, he comes to divide up with the Yisrael. They're dividing up some sort of property. Then, once the property is divided, the Kohen gets to choose which half he wants first. You know how the famous way is that, you know, two partners come to divide. You say one partner gets to do the division, the other partner picks first who gets to, he picks which half he wants. That's how you ensure that it's the equal. So here, if it's split, the Kohen gets first dibs on this. Tosfos does not, Rashi's not clear here what the situation is, so you can possibly read Rashi otherwise, but it seems that Tosfos says that when it comes to Shutfos, that's not what we're discussing over here. Not that it's a partnership between a Kohen and Yisrael, that's not what we're discussing about here. What we're discussing over here is things like Meister Ani, or Tzoko, right, where equal rights are given to a Kohen and Yisrael, they're all entitled to these items, then the Kohen gets to go first. Or, when you're talking about Chaverim, they're sitting around a Suda, and who gets to choose first from the food that's there? And who gets to pick the first money? The way you pass the dish around, who gets to take the first piece of chicken off the dish? That's what we're talking about over here by the Kohen. So technically, you could read Rashi that way. When he's talking about over here, he's talking about friends that are sitting around. Although it seems from Rashi that he seems to be leaning towards more like a Shuddah as a partnership, but there's some sort of division or official division taking place. Alright, so this is the din of the Kohen. So Amar Lei Abayi Rav Yosef. Well, if this is the case, then why is our Mishnah saying we've made the Arkei Shalom? That the whole reason the Kohen gets called to the Aliyah first is because of the Arkei Shalom, the Araisa Yi. It's a Din Araisa. So far we had all these Amoraim who quoted as a Din Pasukim that supported, especially the Kidashto, which we had a ton of very small interpreters that to mean that he gets the, right, the first Aliyah. So he says, Amar Lei Doraisa, you're right, it is Doraisa. Mipnei Arkei Shalom. What is the reason that it's Din Torah? It's because of the Arkei Shalom. So when it says, call it amazing statement of the Torah, call it Torah cool, and how many pay Darkei Shalom? The whole Torah is we pay Darkei Shalom, right? It's Div, Darkei, Darkei Noam, the Chilom Nitzibotah Shalom. That the ways of the Torah, right, are pleasant, the Chilom Nitzibotah, all paths are Shalom. The Gemara brings this in other instances, where, right, again, says when Bachor Lo Misa Yopeh, choose for him the best step, the easiest step, the Torah always wants things to be pleasant, meaning that the idea of the Torah is not to be unpleasant, but rather pleasant. And therefore, right, every mitzvah involves a certain aspect of Darkei Shalom. And it's always important to remember when someone is Makbid al-Bin Adam l'Makom, that the Darkei Shalom is also in part, at least what this verse says here, is that part of every mitzvah in the Torah is also Darkei Shalom. It has also an aspect of Shalom, an aspect of Bin Adam l'Chaveiro involved with it. So, Elo Amar Abayi, Kilimar. No, it's because of Mar. What? The Tanya. When it comes to two people who sit down to eat, they wait for each other when it comes to the plate bringing out. So Sha, if you have three people there, they don't have to do it. Who prostrates until tekila? The one who makes the bracha on Amotzi, he is the first one to break the bread or to eat. He wants to defer his kedusha or his kavod, he may do so. Right, so now, Allah on this they said, Lo shan mel suda. That is only true by suda. Because in shul, if they would allow for mechilas kavod, then you would have a problem of the fighting. You'd be actually shalom. So that's the deoraisa, and the kohen gets precedence, or there are certain levels of precedence that go on, but you can be mokel on that precedence. You can mokel on that to be shalom. But that's only true when it comes to a suda. When it comes to a beit kneset, we say you cannot be mokel on that kavod. Why can he not be mokel on that kavod? Because of Darkei Shalom. And that is the that's the idea. That's what Abai says. This Gemar is like my Rebbe, which is, was Rabbi Bar Nachmani, who was his Rebbe. That's why he's quoting over here this issue of Rabbi Bar Nachmani.
Why is it saying it's more likely that in something like Shul it's going to result in a quarrel and over who makes the
in a public setting. I think that's the idea, that when you have a public, where it's a large seaboard, a public setting, then you involve a much greater, that it's going to be, someone's going to be offended by whatever order is chosen. So therefore there, they maintain it. Whereas in a suza, which is a private affair, less likely. I'm not saying that it won't happen, because we know that it always happens in these situations, but I think it's much less likely to happen in those situations, therefore they were not goes in.
So this is what I'm saying. It really is the Raisa. Like, it's just the Raisa, under certain settings, you're allowed to be mokel.
In all settings, you're allowed to be mokel. In all settings, you're allowed to be mokel. The Darkei Shalom comes to teach you that the Rabbanan instituted that they will not be able to be mokel on his kavod in instances of Beit Knesset. Exactly. So now, this is a very interesting Gemara, just sociologically, it's a very interesting Gemara. Amar Mata, Hada Amar Rebbe Knesset, Lo, when we say the Shul, he may not be Mokhla Skavad, Lo Amar El Shabbatot, Yom Yom Tovim. So this furthers what we said, there's only Shabbat, Yom Tovim, and it's 50 Rabbah, and everybody was there. So again, that's the Hamun Am creates the problem. The more people that are there, the more likely the problem is explicit. So the Shayyid, the Hamishi, Lo, but on Mondays and Thursdays, no. Because Mondays and Thursdays were more sparsely attended. So I would have said, look, they have the same problem we have, that they have the daily minyan is much less less attended than there is Shabbos and Yom Tov minyan. So look at Tosfos, amazing line in Tosfos here. He says, I'm ashamed of the Mishnah Lo, Omerak, Hani Mili the Didhu. That's only for them in their time. The Bechol have a treaty of Amlachba, Lushchiche. But they were very busy at work, and therefore they were unable to make it on Shani Kamishi. About the Didach, our Mondays and Thursdays are just as full as Shabbatot and Yom Tovim. So it's interesting socialization. From time to tomorrow, the Shani Kamishi much less. It seems like time to rock. Even maybe Tosos is dying, because that Shani Kamishi were as prevalent, attendance was as prevalent as Yom Tovim, and today we're back to the ways of the Gemara, where attendance on Mondays and Thursdays is more sparse than it is.
It's
certain that more people come on Shabbos and Yom Tov Dominion versus that might be a fetus. Even if it's just from traveling, there is for sure. Not even a shy one. That attendance is much lower. But it's interesting, just sociologically interesting. Right. So Mark says, indeed, is this really true? Rabbi Huna, quite declining the Shabbos of Yom Tov. Right? That Rabbi Huna was pulled up to the Torah. Rabbi Huna was Israel, was called up in place of Kohanim and Shabbos and Yom Tov. So we see that the Kohanim were Mokel the Kavod for Rabbi Huna. Mark says, shiny Rabbi Huna. Dafilu Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Ashi, Kahani, Kashivi, there is some Mikav, Kabbi, Kabbi, Ulu. So Rabbi Huna held an unusual status that even Rabbi Ami and Rashi were Kohanim in Eretz Israel, where, again, Mikav, Kabbi, Ulu, they were subject to his rulings, or they accepted his rulings. So he was of an unusual stature, therefore he drew, right, a certain amount of couple that was able to overcome this Dakhi Shalom issue. And then
someone else is going to say, well, you gave him first, why don't you give me first?
Right, so nobody, right, he's going to understand that, as Tosus points out, that's the first line of Tosus, says, Mashmah, the La Haki Osor, Kilu Gogol, Mikol B'nei Yerubal. It means the Gogol of the ear, it's not enough. I mean, that he has to really be the Gogol Hador, an undisputed Gogol Hador, which is what the Gemara is describing over here. That's the person who can get this Aliyah, because then nobody can claim, why did we go first? You can never say that about this individual, right? Anytime you say B'nei Yerubal, you always have issues about whether this person is Gogol enough to be the first. So Amar Rabbi Akiva, Isham Kohen, this is very important, right? This is the halacha, that when there is no Kohen, there needs Paradach Abdullah. Halacha, which we call as halacha, is that once there is no Kohen, there's no obligation to give the Levi first. But the Levi, and you see that from a lot of the psukim that were quoted before, is that the Kohanim B'nei Levi. The Kohanim were a subset of Levi. So the Kedusha of the Kohen is what defines that also the Levi will have Kedusha in addition to the Kohen. So if you have Kohen, then you have Levi, then you have Yisrael. Once you lose Kohen, there's no longer this issue of putting the Levi first. Not that you can't, but that you go to. If there is no Levi there, then you call the Kohen. So is this really true? Rav Rabbi Yochanan, Kohen after Kohen, lo yikarei. Can't call Kohen after a Kohen, mishum gamo shel rishon. Because then the first, looks like the first one wasn't a real Kohen, they're calling him up. Levi after Levi, lo yikarei, mishum gam shneem. Shouldn't call Levi after Levi because they think both of them are invalid. So Gemara says, ki gamrinan, so they're going to call, Gemara's going to come back to this price in a second, but ki gamrinan, the oto Kohen, that's only if you call up, right, a different Kohanim, then it looks like the first one was invalid. But if you call the second Kohen twice, right, then he is okay. That's what we do, right? When we have a no Levi here, we say Bincom, right? The coin comes, Bincom Levi. But it's the same coin that we call up the coin. We don't call up an alternative coin, which is to cast aspersions on the first coin. I'll read the rest of the Gemara, and then we'll deal with the interesting issue about, which is unclear in this Gemara, which Tosfos deals with, which is very, very interesting. So Gemara says, Maishnah Levi after Levi, Dikha Pagam, Shnehem. Right? Levi after Levi says that they both could be considered invalid. Damrei, Chadmi, Naivu, Lo, Lav, Levi. Right, that we say that one is not Levi. Levi, who? How Kohen after Kohen? Nami Amrei, Chavi Nai, Ulav Kohenu. Right, so what do you mean? By Levi after Levi, you'll say what? The problem is one of them is not a Levi. So why do you come after Kohen? We'll say one of them is not a valid Kohen. What's more about a Levi than a Kohen? So Amrei, so.
By Kohen, where are you hoping that you'll know that the first one was not a Kohen, or that people will think that the first one was not a Kohen? But Levi was saying it could be
either one of them. So why the first suggested because we would think that both of them are not, one of them is not a Levi. First of the coin, we don't think. My says, but coin going after coin, now I'm having now left coin. My says, the books of Lamba Vuad, I mean, right, Davai, Shani, the coin. We know that the second guy, his father's a coin, for certain we know that he is a coin. There's only questions about the first guy. So my says, Akanami, books of Lamba Vuad, the high Shani Levi. So I can say it's by Levi. We know the second guy is definitely a Levi, his father was a Levi, so why don't we say the aspersions are only cast on the first one? Say, no, make the Levi married, a Netina or a Mamzeret, which will be postal him, meaning he's married, son is postal the cow, and therefore his children are no longer a Levian. So if that's the case, right, I'm certain about what the status of this Levi is. So I said, Afanami, why can't you say the same thing by Kohen? Ami, Gusha Gokhulutanosim, Bakhul Zari, married a Gusha Gokhulutan, this friend Kohen is a Kohen Halal.
Right,
Kohen has an additional area where it could be an application. Now, the point is here, in both these cases, that a lady who marries an Atina Mamzer, the offspring is Yisrael, has the status of Yisrael. And same thing with a Kohen who marries a Gusha Gokhulutan, the Kohen Halal has the status of Yisrael. He no longer has that status of Kohen. So the book qualified as Yisrael, what's the difference here in the Bible? So when I says, so, this is a very important thing. So, Levi be Kahavi, then he's no worse than a Levi. So this is interesting. When you call up the Kohen, right, when you call up the Kohen, then you call up the second Kohen. So what's the first going to think? He's going to think that the first Kohen was invalid, and that's why they call up the second Kohen. But for the second Kohen, there's no chashash, because when they call up the Yisrael afterward, what's the worst they're going to think? They're going to think that he was a Levi. So if he's a Levi, it's clear that he's not a Kalal. The Kalal will bring his status down to Yisrael. So the fact that the Kohen still has a position of Kedusha, which is that he's been given Kohen and Levi, that Levi already gives the status to the second Kohen where you're not going to cast aspersions on him. The only question is the first Kohen, whether he was valid or not. By Levi, that's not the case. When you call up the second Levi, he's getting Yisrael. So when you're casting aspersions, you're casting aspersions on both, because either you call up the second Levi because the first Levi was invalid, or you're calling up the second Levi as a Yisrael because he's no longer a Levi. So you're casting aspersions on both of them. And that's the difference between Levi and Kohen.
So the first Levi, you wouldn't think that it's Levi.
So who's the chash for here? Everybody's in shul, who are we worried about here? They're going to see that he gave seven aliyos, and they called the second coin up. We counted as one of the aliyos. What's the problem here? It's aliyos, shame, how can puzzle it? If the people stay in shul, we know for sure they'll know that's true. Hello, the yoshin. That's because the people leave shul, because they leave after the second coin's aliyah. They won't know that he was counted as one of the seven or one of them, right? Or one of the three for the aliyos, and therefore they won't know whether they're casting this version of the first, or this is a regular aliyah. You should be able to. So now, Joseph deals. Well, they called him up and he leaves. That's the problem.
Possibly.
So, Tosfos deals with an unusual but interesting issue is that we know in the Gemara Megillah that there were different time periods and how aliyot were handed out. We have today, what's the Takanas? The Gemara Megillah talks about the Takana. Because of Zer Mishima Yotzim and Mishima Niknotzim, that with every aliyah, the person makes a bracha before and a bracha afterwards. So our Gemara is teaching to understand according to that. When you say there's no lady, you can call up a coin, call up the same coin. So what differentiates the first aliyah from the second aliyah for the coin is that he makes a bracha beforehand and afterwards, and then again he makes a bracha beforehand and afterwards. That may distinguish between the aliyot. But what about before the Takana? Before the Takana, if he called up a coin in place of a lady, how is it different than his first aliyah? Because all you did was, and when it came to that time, all you did was you called up people, and then you continued to read. So how do you distinguish between Kohen being for Kohen and Kohen being for Levi? He didn't make a bracha. There's no defining, differentiating point. So Tosfos says over here that he would have to go sit down in between. Shaholei for Yosef in time, that he has to go sit down. I mean, that in order for this to be distinguishing in this instance, the Kohen would have to leave after his aliyah is a Kohen, sit down in the Kohen, and have to call him up again. And this idea of Kriya, the Kohen, you have to call him a second time, would be that he sits down to show that this is a differentiated aliyah. And based on this, this is very interesting, so based on this, if you look in the last lines of Tosfos here in our Almud, when we sham Rabbeinu Yehuda Kotbo, Dimitim Beis Knesset Rakwanim, they are only Kohen in the Beis Knesset, they called one Kohen for all seven aliyos. That he makes the brachos for all seven aliyos and distinguish the aliyot, but he is the only aliyah in shul. I'm going to call it one Kohen and he gets all seven or all three aliyos, whatever the aliyos for that day, because there's no reason to call up another Kohen. If you call up the other Kohen, you're casting aspersions on the first Kohen. So in order to prevent those aspersions, right, you have to say that when you call up the first Kohen, he gets all the aliyot. And again, in the case of our day, it's not a problem. How do you distinguish is that you don't say a problem? The other day, you have to sit down and get up each time to qualify for the aliyah. All right, let's finish up the Gemara. There's a little piece here. Shakulay b'di p'ilo the Rebbe Chelbo. So the people of the Golil sent Rebbe Chelbo. Aparena b'korin. What's the order? So this is what you're asking. So, but what? How do we set? I mean, Yisrael now becomes the division of Ayman. I mean, that Kohanim and Levim are more limited. Maybe there's a little to be impacted. But when it comes to Yisrael, it's the Hamon Av again. How do you deal with it? So it's a lot of people who didn't know. After the Shabbat, the Rebbe Yisrael now, after the Shabbat, the Rebbe Yisrael now, that first person gets called out is Tamil Chacham, who is Mamane as a Karnes of the Tzibur, he's a leader of the Tzibur. This we saw in the Gemara and other instances or other places, what's been qualified for him to be a Karnes of the Tzibur, right? That we saw in the Sakha Shabbos, and we saw this also in other instances. The Gemara makes reference to this. But in Marnes of Tzibur, Rachman from the Chavar Mulim, the notes of Marnes of Tzibur, even though they're not Marnes of Tzibur, not the leaders of Tzibur, but they are Ra'uy to be leaders of Tzibur. Rachman, Bnei Tamil Chacha, Shavu Lutayim, Mulim, Marnes of Tzibur. The sons of Tamil Chachamim, who are the leaders of the community, Rachman, Moshe Knesio, Kuladam, after it comes to Rosh Knesset, and the Kuladam. So there is a hierarchy that is associated with decisions of service to the Tzibur. And so therefore, not only the order of Aliyot has to do with their, you know, their status within the Tzibur will determine the order afterwards. And today we have also a precedence when it comes to Chiyuvim, right? The Berakhlofla brings down a situation in order in which Aliyot should be distributed based on the Kolat Hayom, and that would determine the order. Plus, we have this issue of Kavod, where there's a natural hierarchy of Kavod. We give in that order in order not to create problems of Darkei Shalom.